Hello again, everyone. This is Steve Green on the Charisma Podcast Network, and this is the Green Lines Podcast. Every one of these podcasts is produced to help you live an abundant life. Jesus said, "I come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly." I want that, don't you? The Lord has led us to produce over 1,100 episodes of this show with interviews from authors, pastors, teachers, business owners, and even noted musicians and worship leaders. All of this is done with a prayer and belief that we're not to live a life of scarcity. Let me say that again. We are not to live a life of scarcity. We're to live a life of abundance every day of our life. Live in abundance. That's what this show's about. And today's episode features a guest who offers a new perspective on abundant living. My guest today on the Green Lines Podcast is someone that really doesn't need to be introduced, so I'm not going to read your bio. We would not have a show left. I read you Marilyn Hickey's bio. You all know that she's been so effective as a faith believer, mountain mover, Bible teaching, woman of God, just a powerhouse. And if you have any doubts or you haven't heard her, this is a podcast for you. We get a lot of gold from her in this interview, and I'll tell you, I already heard it, and I'm still excited about it. I told her I was going to be floating around on a cloud for a little while after this because her faith is so infectious. So I'm going to promise you that you want to get infected, this is something to get infected with. Just step right up and get some of this mountain-moving faith. And she's going to talk to you about some of the biggest mountains of her life that she just spoke to and moved it. And she's got a little secret. It involves coffee and one other thing that she does early in the morning. And you're going to hear about it in this podcast. You don't want to hear me. You want to hear Marilyn Hickey. Here she is. So I'm privileged once again to welcome back someone that I admire and respect with words that won't suffice. So I just tell you that I love her in the name of Jesus. And I've seen her work for many, many years. Respected her from near at ORU when she was on board of trustees, and then very close now as I read her content, I listen to her podcasts, and we're going to have just a great discussion. And Marilyn, welcome back to Green Lines. I'm honored, ma'am, to have you on the show.
Well, thank you for having me. I love to do this, so I'm just doing what I love to do.
Well, you still have a lot of energy for it, a lot of competence, and that great radio voice that we could pick out from 1,000 voices. I could pick out Marilyn Hickey. Wouldn't be too hard.
Oh, really? Well, thank you.
So tell me a little bit about your ministry, ma'am. What are you up to? What's your travel schedule like through the holidays? What's directly in front of you? What are you seeing?
Well, I did not travel during the holidays, you know, but yes. I have just been to Saudi Arabia, and I really am interested in ministering there to women. Do you know that it's their custom to beat women? And so if I can go in there with positive, you know, how God loves women and deal with that. I like challenges. It's a challenge. So I love it.
Let's just make sure your bodyguards are protecting you from being one that's getting hit. We don't want that.
You know, I think Saudi Arabia likes old women. So I'm old. You know, I'm over 90 now. And so I think they think wonderful.
Yeah, well, they like your wisdom. When you speak, there's wisdom that just comes out. So they're at least smart enough to recognize wisdom when they hear it.
I don't think it's as bad as we think. I just think we're scared. But yeah, I believe those places are open. I really do. I'm going for it.
You keep trying to fill that need as much as you can.
Yes, sir.
So I know enough about you to continue to encourage you, but stay healthy, stay happy, and do what you're doing with your family. But I want to talk to you about moving mountains. And you're known as a mountain mover. You've got at least a grain of faith. And you've moved some mountains. So what is it that you want to tell people about moving those mountains that are just right in front of us? We face them every day, ma'am. How do we do that?
Well, if you don't speak to them, you don't get what's on the other side. And there's something good on the other side of every mountain. So, you know, when I started they were really not happy with women doing anything, and especially yes. pastors' wives.
Oh, my. now you're talking. That's bringing it back to Saudi right in the United States. That's getting real close.
Yeah, yeah.
Right?
So I really like to teach the word because I like what the word does to people. And if you can keep it simple, that's good.
Yes. Simple is always better, isn't it?
Yes, simple is good.
Then everybody walk out learning the best. Give me an example of how you speak to a mountain. And say a mountain in your life today that we all have them, at any age and at any
sure.
station. We have a mountain in our day that maybe we wobble a little bit. We have some vibration in our faith. How do you speak to that mountain, get that mountain, get your faith all stirred up to move it? Tell me about your personal experience with it.
Okay. I do something early in the morning. I get up and I make coffee. I like coffee. It wakes me up. Then I speak promises because promises move the mountain. So I start speaking. Actually, I speak about 36, sometime more than that, promises. That's how I start my day, with coffee.
Okay. I don't have any coffee, but I have a great need to hear you speak a few promises. Give me four or five in a row. Just shout them out.
Okay. Whosoever shall say to this mountain, be thou removed and cast to the sea, shall not doubt in his heart, but believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Am I too long?
Oh, no. You got to keep going now. You got me all warmed up.
Okay. So I go through promises. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I'm more than a conqueror through Christ. And so I confess energy. I say I'm surrounded with favor like a shield. I love people. People love me. And they don't always, but I love them. So it's a big deal.
So tell me, do you have a handout or a teaching book or something that's got your promises in them that you declare? Or do you just suggest everyone to get in their own Bible and find the promises they need?
Well, I have a little booklet that gives promises, you know, that you can use. But I strongly suggest that you get into the Bible for yourself and pick out 15, 20 promises and speak them. Because it doesn't say, look at the mountain. It says, speak to the mountain. So start saying what God says. And I heard Kenneth Hagin early on this, and I got hooked on the book.
Good for you. You know, I love to give homework. We're both teachers. So, you know, my life is built on giving homework. So let's assign this homework today, Ms. Hickey. What can we do this and just say to everyone listening, if you've heard this podcast, Marilyn has recommended to you and decreed that if you'll just get your own promises out of the Bible, you can see some mountains begin to move from your life. So let's make that homework that they'll do today, not next week, but get on it
right.
The first day of December. Let's do that.
Yes. And then keep it up as a habit. So if you wake up and think, oh, I don't feel like it today, you don't go by your feelings. You go by your faith. And that's what I have found works. Feelings can get you in trouble. Faith can get you in the supernatural.
But it's okay to get my coffee first.
Oh, of course. And I don't use sugar. I just use cream. Okay.
I just do black. That's the biggest. So you've spoken over your life. I bet you have recall over some great big mountains. Could you give us one or two in your life that you know that there was a supernatural moving of that mountain in your personal life as an example?
I wanted to teach the Bible on educational television. So I thought, how on earth can you do that? They are not looking for anything religious. So I prayed about it. I had a woman that I was mentoring who worked for that channel, Channel 6. So I said to her, I would like to teach the Bible on educational TV. So she was just so sweet, so nice. She'd just gotten born again. So she went to the leader, and so she had me go and talk to him. And so I said, could I teach just stories from the Bible about people.
Yes.
And he cursed, well, we've never used anybody with the Bible, blah, 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 blah. I said, well, try me out and see. And, you know, God just honors faith. And so at the end of the time, he said, you know, we had the best response to your program of any we've had for a long time. So I taught the Bible on educational, and it was free. Can you imagine? I got in free. So I think get your faith out there and start exercising it, start speaking it, and don't speak negative things.
Come on. About how old were you? I know you've already told me your age today, but when you started this educational teaching, how old were you? Do you remember?
Well, my children would have been very young because I taught them. I would teach them first. And if they could understand it, I figured anybody else could. So I practiced on children. So Sarah would have been about 5 or 6, and Michael was 4 years older. So we had an adopted son, Michael.
Sure. Now, I've had the privilege of interviewing Sarah and her great writing, and what a guest she's been for us here on Charisma. And I just feel like I'm talking to a special gift when I talk to Sarah. She's really gifted.
She is outstanding, and I'm extremely prejudiced. Thank you.
Well, you can have all the prejudice you want, because I'm going to join that club. I'll sign right up.
Good.
I am too. So let's talk about that mountain that, even with your full faith, your powerful faith, and your life experience of so much faith, hanging out with Oral Roberts and Richard and the family, and seeing your faith used there, what do you do? Advise all of our listeners that when they don't see that mountain move, maybe just a little bit, what do you do to get the thing moving the way it should move?
Well, you get a faith friend, and you call that friend. And I call them early in the morning, and I speak my faith to them, and they speak their faith to me. And so, you know, I don't give up, because they hold me accountable and I hold them accountable. So I think faith friends are very positive and are wonderful. And I have faith friends now.
Of course you do. Can you share from your history some of the faith friends you used, or you don't want to name names? But I mean, I know some of the people you hang out with. So you've got some pretty strong faith believers.
Well, I did. You're right. Because I was so attracted to faith, because I knew the word would work. And I had heard Kenneth Hagin, you know, I got involved with Oral Roberts. I got around faith people, and I became partners to the Osbournes, who were really going to all the nations. And I ended up going to the nations they went to. I mean, God is cool. He is really cool.
That's good work.
So I've had a cool life.
Yeah, and you had a word of faith mentality about you. Just speak the word of faith over it and move this mountain. And, you know, there are just people that come to that door of having to choose to believe or not believe, and they take the easy route of just not believing. Oh, God doesn't do that anymore, and I haven't seen it in my life, so it must not be true. How do you deal with the agnostic? They may be Christians, but they're just agnostic in their faith to be mountain movers.
Well, I just say, would you like me to share some of the miracles in my life? And so they say, okay. And then I share them. And so I like to provoke people to faith.
Come on.
I really do. I think you do too.
I do. And I do it in a way that's honoring and not disrespectful.
Right.
But you're so classy and so elegant. They don't even know they've been taught after you get finished. But tell me how you provoke them in a modern day sense. How do you, you know, this is a troubled land we live in, and not the same that you and I have ministered to in other years. But how do you today provoke someone with love?
Well, I have a young woman who said to me, I'd like you to mentor me. So I said, now, I don't play around with you. If you think I'm going to be easy, I'm not. So are you sure you want me to mentor you? And so she said, yes. So anytime I get an opportunity, I go for it. And I remember, you know, some of the people that I knew that I watched, they didn't know they were mentoring me. But I remember one of them, she prayed for like 50 nations every day for revival in those nations. I took that up. I learned 50 nations. I began to pray for revival. So I emulated, and a lot of people didn't know I was emulating them. I took those things because it honestly, it warmed my heart. The word warms your heart. That's a big deal. Yes.
Well, you know, when we begin to do that, when you emulate and you're a mentor, that mentors are first, the synonym for mentor to me is model. That they don't want to hear your words. They want to watch your life. And you've been a mountain mover. I mean, if anybody's going to say anything about you that says that you're a woman of faith, a great teacher of faith, a great believer, and one who has seen faith every day of her life, that you're not a doubter at any breath you take. So it's just transferring that, and you transfer it by modeling, right? Isn't that your gift?
Makes room for you, doesn't it?
Yes. Yes, it does. It sure does. It opens a lot of doors. And then your character keeps you there, right?
You bet. You bet.
That's what I used to teach my students at ORU, that you've already got doors open for you. You walked in these hallowed halls of Oral Roberts University. You're at a faith university built by faith. And what I want you to know is your faith has made room for you. But now it's up to you, young people, to do all that you can do to exercise your character, to keep you right in this place of the training of faith.
Yes, your lifestyle is very important because people are looking more at your lifestyle usually than at your words. You know, I only married once. I was true to my husband. He was true to me. And my husband encouraged me. So he said to me, now this is how I started. Every other Sunday, I want you to preach. And our church was called Happy Church. You know, he scared me, but I did it. And he thought I was better than I am. So I had a lot of encouragement.
What was your favorite sermon you ever preached? Do you have one? Do you have a thought? Do you recall one that you preached that just rocked the place in you?
Well, I do something with the four words, Hebrew words for man. And I'm going to do it soon in another church. I pull it out and teach it because I teach how, you know, Jesus helps us in these relationships, you know. Yes, so I do Adam and Ish and those, you know what I'm talking about. So anyway, I pull that one out and I put faith in it. And then I tell about how I began to pray for nations, and then God began to open up nations for me to go to that didn't believe in women, and how I began praying for the sick, and sometimes I was sicker than the sick. And so, but faith, oh dear Lord, faith is my key.
Well, you also teach, I've heard you teach many times, that we're to personalize the word. And you've done a very good job of doing that because you teach simplicity, so you understand that we have to personalize it. So give us an example of how you personalize the word.
Well, I think one of the things is how God opened up some of the other countries to me. And so I said, Psalm 5:12, I am surrounded with favor like a shield. I love people and people love me. Then I began knocking at the doors, you know, and so sometimes they would say, oh, no, I remember once a special country, they said, we don't believe in women. And so I didn't give up. I said, well, God does. Would you pray about it again? And they said, okay. That church, listen, that church is over 18,000 people. What if I had given up? I would never. I just was there recently and preached. That's in Hungary. That would never have happened. If you don't stay in faith and faith doesn't stay in you, don't expect the supernatural.
Come on. See, we want to expect the supernatural. We just want to hold our hands out and say, fill it up. And yet we don't believe and operate and walk in the supernatural. We limit God.
Well, we need to knock on the doors and scare ourselves sometimes. Because sometimes, you know, I've said, oh, I want to come and I want to preach there and I want to do this and do that. And, you know, they've said no. And I've said, well, pray about it again. And so they finally said, okay, come on. And then when I get up to preach, I'm scared out of my wits. And I think, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So I don't want you to think, oh, you weren't afraid. I have been plenty afraid. I just let faith overcome fear.
Yes. And really, all you need to get up behind that pulpit on a platform out there with those thousands is just that mustard seed faith that you teach. And you don't have to have full faith when you stand up there to start, but that full faith overtakes you, doesn't it? You remember, your recall, your life experiences start coming out of you, and full faith just comes out.
I love what you're saying. You're exactly right. Because sometimes things will come to my memory and I think, well, I haven't remembered that for a long time. That's Holy Ghost stuff.
Yeah. That's Holy Ghost making stuff come to your mind.
Right.
And that comes easier because you don't allow yourself to be snared by your own words. You don't confess that, well, I don't belong up here. I'm too this, I'm too that, I'm too tired. You don't let yourself get snared. So
no.
Help our audience understand. Teach that to us, ma'am, that your own words can do to snare you.
Well, your words can absolutely close you down. So,
yes.
You know, I claim those things early in the morning. I drink coffee and claim those promises. Mm-hmm. Then I start facing the mountains I might have for that day. You know, I wanted to go to Saudi Arabia. Well, they're not looking for a Holy Ghost old woman to come, but I got to go and I got to do things. Now I want to go back and
yes,
I want
ma'am.
To do some things with women.
And they, you will. This is of the Lord.
I believe it. I believe it. I receive it.
Do you have calendar bookings already for 23? Are you knowing of anywhere you're going?
Yes. I am busy.
You're busy.
I am
busy.
Are
you writing?
I do some writing, yeah. But most of my writing comes from my tapes for teaching.
Sure. That's the good stuff.
Yeah.
That's that. Full of anointing.
Yeah. You don't waste your time. You multiply it.
So let's speak to our listeners. Let's say that we have mature Christians doing battle with COVID, trying to come out of it. Country's trying to recover. We're trying to get back to some form of normal. Churches are, some are repopulating, some are not. Speak your heart about where we are post-pandemic, if we are, and speak to all the mature Christians who are, I think, maybe have lost a little of their edge because of COVID. They've not intentionally backed up a step or two, but Lord keeps moving. And what do you have to say about all of us who are slowing down a little bit?
I would say, are you speaking promises every day? Are you talking to the mountain? Or are you saying, well, I'm just too old? Who said that? Did God say it? You're too old to do anything for me, so just shut your mouth. No. So I just don't get too old. I just get too full of faith. And I believe that's actually the happy life. You want to know a happy life? It's a faith life. And I think hanging around faith people, reading faith books is good, but also looking for people you can speak faith into. So, my neighborhood, they're not saved. But I sat out on the porch one day because it was just so nice out. And so my next door neighbor to the right came over and he said, I have cancer. Would you mind praying for me? I said, no, I'd love to pray for you. And so I prayed for him. Then I gave him a book on faith. And now he doesn't have cancer. So I want to be contagious. And so do you.
You are. You got that Holy Ghost gift. If someone comes over to your house and says, pray for me, they're not going to leave the same way they came.
No, they're not. They're not. They're not. And in my neighborhood, I know that they've kind of labeled me, oh, she's some radical Christian. That's okay. They're right. I'm radical. I'm just radical. I'm crazy faith. So I don't try to cover my steps. I just try to expose them.
And you're full of good health, ma'am. Your health
is
good?
Yes, sir. My health is very good. I sleep well. I eat well. I need to drink more water. But other than that, I'm good.
Well, do that. Did you know Charles Green? He was on your board, so I know you.
Oh, yeah, I know Charles. I knew Charles Green.
Share a faith story with you. His son, Michael, and I sang in choir together in New Orleans. We were in a high school choir.
Oh, my goodness.
And I was not saved. I was sort of ish because I'd gone to my grandmother's church a few times, and she was working on me. She was my lowest prayer. But Michael took me over to his church where his dad was there, and I met his dad, Michael's dad, Charles Green, and he came up to me and prophesied over me about what I would become and the work that I would do. And I had no idea what he was doing. I didn't know the gifts of the Spirit and understood that he was prophesying, but whatever he said to me, it stuck. I saw him again. The next time I saw him was at Chancellor Roberts' memorial service. I saw him again. He sat behind me, and I turned to him, and we rekindled a relationship. He sort of, you know, I was 17, man. And Charles looked at me and said, you know, I don't remember you in the flesh, but in the spirit, I know that something was birthed in you at that moment when you met me, because I met so many young people in high school and college that happened to them. And I went on to minister and to be saved and filled with the Holy Spirit in the 70s and that charismatic renewal. And my life changed, and I ended up teaching at ORU, and he had no idea in it. And I'm thinking about it because I thought about his health and how quickly he went from us. But I'm mindful of how you generals have had such an impact on youth, on the young people. And you may never know how many people you touched, because they don't get back to you and say, Mrs. Hickey, you have no idea what you did for me. You have no idea when you spoke that word over me and prayed for me, what it did for me. And here I am 50 years later, and God used me in those 5 decades because of your prayer over me and your big faith. So I just want to honor you by telling you that story.
Thank you,
Charles Green, and tell you what you mean to me, to so many others who are speaking through me now, saying, Marilyn, you bless my life so many ways and so much of your teaching. Whatever you do, keep teaching, keep traveling, get back over there to Saudi, and God bless you as you travel. May all the borders and gates open to you with open arms and protect you with the power of the Holy Spirit.
Thank you, thank you, thank you. God bless you.
God bless you. Thank you so much for being on the show. I won't be the same after today. I'm going to zip around on a cloud for a while.
Okay, zip around.
We love you, Marilyn Hickey. God bless you.
Thank you, thank you, thank you.
You've been listening to the Green Lines Podcast. I'm Steve Green on the Charisma Podcast Network. On behalf of my producer, Adley, I want to say to you that Jesus came that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. Now, if you listen to this faith-moving woman of God today, you know that mountain is facing you, can be moved, and you're facing a life of abundant living. God bless you all.